for our Christmas series, as we go on a journey in Preparavior, each sermon will focus on a popular Christmas hymn. We'll look at A Journey of Longing, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, A Journey of Searching, What Child Is This, A Journey of Humility, O Little Town of Bethlehem, A Journey of Joy, O Come All Ye Faithful, and A Journey of Celebration, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Journey of Searching from our series, A Journey. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Journey of Searching.
Amen. This week, we move on our journey from longing to searching. There was a little boy who got lost in the mall. When his parents finally caught up with him, they chastised him and asked him what he was doing. And he said, it was during Christmas time, and he said, I was searching for the baby Jesus. And his dad said, come on, boy, we ain't got time for that. And I wonder how many of us would take the attitude of that dad, that father. You know, we ain't got time for that. We ain't got time to search for the baby Jesus. He told the little boy, come on, we got other things to do. We got other places to be. There are other things that we need to be about. We don't have time for that. How many of us, that would be our testimony? Oh, we might not necessarily come right out and say it, but that would be the attitude of our heart. I'm too busy preparing my Christmas meal. I'm too busy shopping for presents. I'm too busy getting together with family and friends that I don't have time for the baby Jesus. This morning, let us search for him. Let us search for him with our hearts. And let us end up asking the question, what child is this? What child is this? As we have already read in the Advent reading, was written by a Scotsman by the name of William Dix. Now, he was an insurance salesman in Glasgow, Scotland, and during his lifetime, he was smitten with an illness at about the age of 29. This illness confined him to a bed, which during the time that he was sick, he suffered deep depression, and he just went into a state of gloominess. And in his state of gloominess, he called out to God, and he asked God to help him. He asked God to show himself to him. And it was during this time that Dix met God in a new and intimate way. And in the midst of his communion with God, his new discovered relationship with God, he began to write many hymns. And one of the hymns that he wrote that came out of his recovery from his depression is What Child Is This? And during that time, he meditated on the importance of who Jesus was and who Jesus really is. You know, it's important for us to realize how important Jesus is. Have you ever thought about how important Jesus is? I heard the story about the Pope, who was visiting the United States. And the Pope wanted to experience driving for himself on foreign soil. And so he asked the limousine driver that picked him up if he could drive. And this guy, being a dear Catholic, figured that he wasn't going to tell the Pope no. So he let the Pope drive. and the Pope was driving, and before they knew it, the Pope was driving 90 miles an hour. And a police officer pulled him over. And the police officer pulled him over, and he didn't know what to do. He saw the Pope sitting there in the driver's seat. He didn't know what to do. And he called into his chief. And he asked the chief, what should he do? And the chief said, well, I need more information. He said, well, you know, it's a very important person that's driving this car that I just pulled over. And the chief said, well, is it the mayor? And he said, no. Chief getting a little frustrated. So, well, is it the governor? And he said, no. He said, more important than that. He said, well, is it the president? And the police officer said, no. And the chief, being at his wits, said, well, who on earth can it be? And the guy said, well, let me put it this way. I don't know his name, but he is so important that the Pope is his chauffeur. He was a pretty important guy, right? So when we think about this question of who is Christ, what child of this is this, he must be pretty important. For all of heaven, and let me show you why he's important. All of heaven stopped and attracted the attention of this birth. That must be pretty important. Now, there might have been a couple other times that all of heaven stopped. I remember in Revelation, we've been studying the tribulation and talking about the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. And before they unleashed the seven bowls, I believe it's Revelation 8, it said that there was silence in heaven for about the space of a half hour. That means that things were getting ready to get pretty serious. That there was something important that was getting ready to happen. What child is this that all of heaven stops to acknowledge the fact that he was showing up here on earth? Luke 2:13 and 14. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Wow. Just think of all the busyness of heaven. You know, one of the things that we're going to do when we get to heaven is we're going to worship God. But that's not all we're going to do. You know, there'll be other things that, you know, I wrote a book on heaven, and in there I have a chapter on all the things that we're going to do when we get to heaven. You know, we're going to serve him. We're going to work with him. We're going to fellowship with one another. We're going to enjoy the gifts that he's given us and be able to work with those things in heaven. So there's a lot of things that'll be going on in heaven. It's just not going to be one eternal worship service, even though that would be all right. That would be all right. But it's going to be more than that. But at this point, the serving stopped. The worshiping stopped. All the whatever else was being done stopped. And all attention went toward this babe who was being born in the manger. What child is this that even heaven stops? What child is this that shepherds who were in their fields, watching over their flocks, what would draw them away from their flocks? I mean, it was very important. And see, this is, I'm going to share some stuff next week that maybe we have not considered to up until this point. But one of the things that we look at is that the shepherds were in the field. And in December, the shepherds wouldn't have been in the field, right? So this would have had to have been spring, maybe fall. So we know that Jesus wasn't born in December because the shepherds wouldn't have been out there in the field. So we look at this. It was important enough for them to be out there in their fields. What would draw them away from watching their sheep? And a lot of the sheep were, and you know, as you said, I love the Christian life because in reading the Bible, because the more you study, the more you learn. If you ever think that you've arrived, then you might as well just ask God to go ahead and call you on home to glory, right? Because you learn more. But this was, I'm gonna fix this thing up next week, right? But this was the time when the sheep would be delivering the lambs, and so it was important that the shepherd stayed with them. Oh, but let me tell you something on this second Sunday of Advent, that there was another lamb that was being, there was another lamb that was being delivered, and that was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so the shepherds, even though they were concerned about their lambs delivering the sheep, the baby sheep, the ewe, that they were concerned about that, there was something that drew them away and brought them to a place where they had to see the Lamb of God. What child is this? And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another with their sheep about ready to deliver their sheep, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. What child is this? What child is this that would draw the shepherds away from their flocks? What child is this that, according to Luke 2:19, would cause Mary to stop and ponder? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine what she must have been pondering? The fact that, and I'm sure that some of you ladies can identify with this, right? The fact that she had never known a man, yet she got pregnant and delivered a child. Now, you tell me that's not something that will cause you to stop in your tracks and meditate. Wow. Mary pondered all these things. Mary pondered the fact that the angel had visited her and gave her this announcement. Mary pondered the fact, how in the world did these shepherds know to come? Mary kept all these things and pondered them. Do you think Mary ever asked the question, what child is this? What child is this that I carried for 9 months? What child is this that when I went to my cousin Elizabeth and told her that I was pregnant, that the babe in her womb leaped? What child is this? And you know what? I believe that there was even a greater time that Mary pondered maybe even more intimately and more deeply, and that was when she saw her son being crucified. And I'm sure she had to ask, what child is this? Is it all going to come to an end right here? What child is this? What child is this that brought the wise men from afar? So again, every Christmas in every Advent season, I always say that there were no wise men at the birth of Christ. No wise men there. They didn't come until about a year later. All right? So, you know, in my yard, I have a nativity, and I got the baby Jesus. I got Mary, and I got Joseph. Haven't got any shepherds yet, but if I had some shepherds, they would be right there. And if I had some wise men, I would put them on the other side of my yard to say, they're not there yet. They're coming. They're on the way. They saw the star, and they're coming. But what was it about this child that caused the wise men to come? Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Verse 11, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young, see again, now look, they came to the house, right? Everybody else came to the stable, the manger. They came to the house, right? And even two different words are used there. And when they came to, now let me say this. If you got wise men, go ahead and put them there. Go ahead and put your wise men there. If you want to be unbiblical, just go ahead and put them there. No, seriously, you can put them there. Just know that they weren't there. All right, that's one of my pet peeves, right? All right, let me move on. When they came to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, the gift of a king. Frankincense, the gift of one who was sent long for because of prayer. And myrrh, which was bitter, prophesying what he would end up doing by dying on the cross. So they brought these treasures to him. And I'm sure they had to ask the question, what child is this? And then the last person that I believe asked this question, what child is this? And that was Herod, because Herod wanted to kill him. And we see here in Matthew 2:13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. What child is this that even Herod wanted to kill him? As we revisit our hymn, we're going to find some answers to what child is this. And notice in the hymn, there were several questions that were posed by the author. First of all, what child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? What child is this? What child is this whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? See, y'all sang this morning. You sang this morning. You sang these questions this morning. What child is this? And then the question is asked, why lies he here in such a mean estate? And I thought to myself, what is a mean estate? You know, if you say, like somebody that got, you know, a big Ponderosa, right? And they got all kind of fancy decorations and everything. You say, man, they got a mean estate. Is that what it means? No, that's not what it means, right? A mean estate. So we sang that this morning. Did we know what? I'm pointing at myself, too. Do we know what we sang, right? I'm going to tell you what you're saying. Mean estate means an unflattering, uncomfortable, and insulting circumstances. And notice what it follows up by saying, where ox and ass are feeding. This was a unflattering. This was an insulting circumstance. What child is this that lies here in this mean estate? So those were some of the questions that were posed in the hymn. Now notice, there are three answers that are given clearly in the hymn. This child is the king. Notice what it says here. This is Christ the King. This child is a suffering Savior. Notice it says, nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me and you. And this child is God incarnate. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh. Let's look at these three things. Let's examine them as we get a better understanding on what child is this. First of all, we see that this child is a king. This is Christ the King, who shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Jesus was a king. Even though he was a babe lying in the manger, he was a king. What is a king? A king is one who has dominion and authority over all things. Jesus has dominion and authority over all things, that when he lay there in that manger, that he was still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That as he lay there as a babe, he was still the King of the universe. He was a king. The first time Jesus came, he came veiled as a child. He was marked by a star at his arrival. Wise men brought him gifts. There was no room for him. Only a few attended his arrival. The next time Jesus comes, he will be recognized by all. Heaven will be lit up with his glory. He will bring rewards for his own. The world will not be able to contain his glory, and every eye shall see him when he comes again. He will come in the fullness of being the king. But he came the first time as a king. People just didn't recognize him. They just didn't understand. And so, shepherds, Mary, did they understand that he was a king? Did they understand that he would not only rule a nation, he would not only rule a continent, that he would not only rule the world, but he would rule everything that exists? That's why the Bible says all things are under his feet. That means that all things will submit to him. All things will come under subjection to him. Can you imagine what it's like for that little baby to be lying there, and yet everything that exists comes under subjection to him? My, who is this child? This child is a king, but he is a king unlike any other king, because he is a king of everything. The second thing that we see that was answered in the song is, not only was he a king, but he was a suffering savior. The songwriter said this: "Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me and you." That's what we sung this morning. Isaiah put it like this: "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." William Dix said that he was a suffering savior, that he would be pierced through, that he would bear the cross for me and you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Journey of Humility, our series, A Journey. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Journey of Searching, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Searching. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Searching from our series, A Journey. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Journey, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.